Welcome, this is Ask an Atheist, 844-SKEPTIC, 844-753-7842. And it was a little early, but we had the Passover Seder last night.
Yes, we did.
Yeah, that was fun. Imagine Passover with me, Becky, Dan, and Bridget. And basically every terrible thing that you think could happen probably did.
Well, this was not hosted by any of the four of us.
No, it wasn't. No,
we were
it was hosted
all guests
by,
at the Seder. The Seder, which requires that you drink four glasses of joyous wine.
Yeah, so I'm feeling better than I did last week, but I still had a big social event last night, and I'm kind of under the weather still. Again, Ask an Atheist, 844-SKEPTIC, 844-753-7842. Joining me is obviously Becky, and how are you, Meredith?
Oh, I am doing well, Sam. How are you?
I'm doing pretty good. Pretty good.
I didn't attend the four glasses of wine Seder.
I did not have four glasses of wine last night.
But, you know, I made a fool out of myself. Don't eat the bitter herb now. It's like, I'm not eating it. I'm just storing it. Oh, sorry. Let me do this right. I'm not eating it. I'm just storing it in my mouth.
Yes.
Like a chipmunk?
Yeah.
I said like a pelican.
Other people said like a chipmunk, too.
That's because you had Bridget in the room who
likes chipmunks. That's true. Yeah.
Furry woodland creatures. Yeah.
Yeah. And possibly the nerdiest thing I've ever said. which I know it's got to be way out there, right? Dan, to his credit, wants to know what's going on so that he can be respectful, not realizing that this isn't that kind of room. And I say this isn't like a spell out of Advanced Dungeons and Dragons Second Edition, Dan. We're winging it. It's cool.
Nice.
And he's like, oh, all right, awesome. And it was a lot of fun. I had a great time.
Yeah, a bunch of teachers in the room, a bunch of educators, some Jews, some atheist Jews, and it was all around a really, really fun time.
Yeah, and I am having in honor of our recent Patreon episode where we talked about weird Mountain Dews. I opened my fridge this morning, and lo and behold, there is a Black Label grape flavored Mountain Dew
monstrosity,
deeper, darker Dewstrosity. Dewstrosity is something the Ultimate Warrior really likes. Anyway,
And I hadn't even listened to the Patreon episode, and yet I was moved. I was drawn to buy a Mountain Dew Black Label, or perhaps
did you just
maybe
say Mountain Lube?
Mountain Lube.
I was moved to. Yes, I misspoke.
Okay,
I misspoke.
Don't drink that.
You know.
Yeah. Well, I mean, I imagine it's non-toxic. Otherwise,
probably.
And water-based, if
water-based,
it's worse anyway.
Yeah.
Yeah. So just to make sure that this isn't a sponsored thing, it's terrible.
Yeah, no, it's not good.
No, it's not good at all.
I wasn't actually moved through psychic energy to purchase this for you. It actually just appeared as a free sample coupon.
Psychic energy is later on in the show, Becky. Let's stay on
topic. Oh, well, hold off. Sorry.
Becky!
Yes, Sam!
The Secretary of Education has been kidnapped by ninjas. Are you a bad enough dude to save the Secretary of Education?
Turn to page 82 if yes.
No, it's a Nintendo game.
I'm going with a choose-your-own-adventure novel.
No, the Nintendo game. Bad Dudes is pretty good.
Okay,
Mountain Dew to save her?
As an actual educator, I'm not a bad enough dude to to protect via security detail the so-called Secretary of Education.
Do you know who is?
Who is, Sam?
U.S. Marshals are providing Secretary of Education Betsy DeVos with security detail for the next 4 years, citing a threat assessment ordered by the U.S. Attorney General. The Department of Education is expected to reimburse U.S. Marshals nearly $1 million per month of protective service for the controversial secretary. The last time any cabinet official was guarded by federal marshals was for the 2009 Director of National Drug Control Policy, a position that doesn't exist at the cabinet level. No other official in Trump's cabinet is being guarded. More than 20 individuals will provide security for Secretary DeVos.
See, they have to make sure that Ms. DeVos is protected for when the Cylons come, because we're going to need a Laura Roslin-esque president to rule over the colonies. Or we could just use the $1 million a month for something like, oh, I don't know, education?
Yeah, like actually educating children would be a great way to use that money, or paying our teachers.
You know what? This is one, it's ridiculous because we're talking about an administration that doesn't want to fund education, and actually a party that has a significant membership that believes public education is a threat to liberty. Let that one rattle around in your head.
The face I'm making right now.
Yeah, no, I've had it planned out to me, and I get the argument, but you need a very strange definition of liberty in order for that to really work. But the other thing is, what is, you know, let's talk about Betsy DeVos's family. I mean, Betsy DeVos has a brother who runs Blackwater.
I think it's her husband's family, perhaps.
Husband's family.
Well, one of her immediate family members, either through marriage or through blood, is the director or owner of Blackwater, which now is no longer called Blackwater. I think it's called like XE or something like that.
Ooh, edgy. Oh,
yeah.
It's a competitor for Mountain Dew Black Label.
See, we should have Mountain Dew Black Label protect her.
Yeah.
Be cheaper.
It would.
Grape flavored Betsy DeVos. No, sorry. I just linked Betsy DeVos to a flavor. There shall be no flavoring of this.
I've just muted you because that was really gross. The thing is, Blackwater, known for doing some stuff that
stop interfering with my liberty and silencing me.
The U.S. government is known for wouldn't touch, and very, you know, kind of a controversial organization. Potentially made a lot of enemies with guns. I can see why she might need some extra protection, because I certainly don't want a Chuck Norris movie to happen starring Donald Trump.
Yeah, but should that really come at the expense of children's education and the taxpayers?
No, traditionally, security for government officials has come from the taxpayers.
It does. And the interesting thing here is we don't know exactly what the security threat for Secretary DeVos is.
Yeah, not like they're going to tell us.
Just that there exists what the U.S. Attorney General deems is a credible threat.
Yeah.
Requiring 24 people to protect her at all times.
The other thing being, who was the other person to get this? That was the director of National Drug Control Policy. You can kind of understand why that person might need extra protection.
Yeah.
Given the way, you know, that battle, that, you know, thanks Nixon, has been going. But I can see an argument being made why Betsy DeVos might need extra security detail beyond her absolutely ridiculous stances on education and the fact that this money is going to come out of education.
Now, would she have actually needed this much security detail? Would there have been a credible threat on her life if she had not been given the exposure through an ill-fitting cabinet-level position of being the Secretary of Education?
And that's the ultimate question, isn't it?
Yeah, it absolutely is.
Yeah, is she? I don't think she was a good pick for Secretary of Education.
Well, I don't think a lot of people do.
Right. And the only reason why she needs this extra security detail is because one chowderhead picked another chowderhead for a job that they're not qualified for. And thus that's the situation we're in. But power trumped sense in this case. Ha. And so now she needs extra security where she might not have needed it otherwise. Or maybe she was paying for it herself and this was her way of not paying for it. Who knows? I can speculate about this all
day. That's a good thing to probably look into at one point is, has she always had this level of security and was she paying for it for herself before?
Right.
And now the burden's just shifted because of her new position.
Right. I'm purely speculating at that point. Let's be clear.
Well, why would someone who's married into the foremost private security detail need to have other security detail, you know, given to her?
I know you want this. I know where you were taking this, Becky, because you put this story in the show notes. I know you wanted this to be Betsy DeVos is just burning education money on other stuff. And that argument can be made. We know the policies that she's going to come up with, you are going to find
abhorrent,
antithetical to the concept of a public education.
Of church and state.
Or separation of church and state. Absolutely. And I think that's, and I'm not trying to take away from that, but
We can't discount the Blackwater connection.
Can't discount the Blackwater connection. If you want,
maybe it's the Amway connection. Maybe we're going at this in a completely backwards way.
Ooh.
We should be looking to see if someone is wanting to get back at Amway. Because wasn't Betsy DeVos's father the founder of Amway or the
something like that? Yeah.
Amway? So maybe someone has been wronged by the pyramid scheme cult that is Amway.
Someone,
just one person.
Someone, hundreds of thousands of people at the bottom tier of that pyramid.
Yeah. I mean, this administration is spending astronomical amounts of money on security, specifically like all the security at Trump Tower, because the First Lady doesn't live in the White House. And that's money that they didn't have to spend. And that's money that the government generally doesn't have to spend. There are arguments to be made about how terrible security is under the new administration. Like, people are complaining that like $92 million was spent on, by the way, we bombed Syria this week. I don't really have a lot to say about that yet. So not really gonna. Yeah. Also, it's very depressing, but you know, people talk about how many school educations that could have paid for, how many senior meals. However, it is less than 1 month of security at Trump Tower. So, to put that into perspective, there is an argument to be made for about the ridiculousness of security in the Trump administration, which is what happens when you have somebody who rides in on a wave of war whooping. But I don't know that this is necessarily the place. This might actually be,
You're saying this might be warranted because of the notoriety that she's been exposed to, and there might be a real credible threat on Betsy DeVos.
But I am going to take this opportunity to say that I think she's a terrible pick for Secretary of Education.
Well, she is, and she has been, and we could probably avoid something like this if she hadn't have been picked in the first place, but that's a bridge we can't go back to.
Right. So, going back to how we opened this show, there are mixed indications that Donald Trump will host a White House Passover Seder, a tradition started by President Obama. The former presidential administration held the Jewish springtime holiday meals every year after Jewish staffers had staged an impromptu observance on the campaign trail in 2008. The White House has periodically held celebrations from a variety of religious traditions, such as Hanukkah, Christmas, Diwali, Easter, and Ramadan.
So I had
Ramadan Iftar, actually.
I had discovered this midweek.
Not the whole month.
Not the whole Obama. The Obamas didn't fast during daylight hours.
No, that that probably would have been bad for their public image.
Oh,
at the time, yes.
Yeah.
Plus the fact that they're not Muslims.
They're not Muslim.
Yeah.
My point.
So,
yes.
So I came across this actually midweek because this is we're coming up to both Easter and Passover and things like that, and it just sort of came across some of my little feeds because I still subscribe to some of the Jewish publications. Meredith, you actually looked into this. That it looks like they were getting some flack for not announcing that they were going to do a Seder, and they're like, oh, looks like Trump's not doing a Seder. So as of this morning.
Yeah, this morning, like maybe 4 hours ago. So like noon on a Sunday, they are now holding a Seder tomorrow night.
Okay.
The guest list is undetermined. Nobody knows who's going.
Maybe not even Orthodox Jew Jared Kushner.
Maybe not even Trump.
And this is super different from when, you know, the Obamas would hold maybe a Hanukkah reception and celebration that months in advance, invitations would go out requesting the honor of your presence at this celebration. They had a huge celebratory event honoring the birth of the founder of Sikhism. And it was all of these big affairs. And I really can't help but think that maybe the Jewish publications got wind midway through the week and was like, hey, there's no Seder that's going on. What a friend to religious people Trump has been and is.
Well, he especially has a bad history relation with Jewish people. So this could play into that again with some of the remarks he's made in the past.
It's really kind of very strange because Jared Kushner is practicing Orthodox Jew, and it's his son-in-law, and he's been one of his top advisors. But at the same time, we're also hearing that between Bannon and Kushner, you're hearing tons of, I think the New York Times maybe characterized it as like a proverbial knife throwing in the situation rooms or in the advisory rooms and things like that.
They've been disagreeing and kind of publicly arguing on a lot of stuff.
Mm. And of course, the Trump administration keeps saying, no, everything's fine. Yet every single newspaper is saying, well, one of our sources that works within the Trump administration said that they're at each other's throats all the time. And Trump is throwing his hands up in the air saying, work it out already.
I'm going to continue my theme from the last news segment.
Okay.
And kind of take a different tack here. And as an atheist, I think less celebrated religious stuff in the White House, I'm okay with this. I am okay with that.
I'm okay with that, too. I think that I'm also okay with, as the leaders of the nation, the first family celebrating and honoring the diversity with...
Leader of a secular nation, though.
True.
Trump, for good or for ill, is the representative of the country. The country is not supposed to make a decision on religious policies. They're not even supposed to be atheists. They're not supposed to do anything at all. And what he chooses or they choose to do for their own personal observances isn't really my lookout. But making a big deal out of it, I think that that's actually antithetical to the principles that the United States is founded on. Not only that, but, you know, look at all the stuff that they did during the presidential administration. Yeah, I mean, Obama talked a good game about people who don't believe, but his record isn't perfect on that. It's not like, you know, he had a lot of atheists over there a bunch of times, the same way he had religious people over there. We don't get a look in these situations because, well, we don't have a holiday to start, so there's really nothing for them to do. We'd have to pick one. And the minute we said Darwin Day, you know what the response is going to be.
Why is Darwin your god?
Right.
Yeah.
So, I mean, I understand that, you know, Trump has a problem with Jews and minorities. I saw that electoral camp. I saw that election cycle, too. He's really bad at that. He's got some stuff that he's got to deal with there. I think religious observance at the White House is the wrong way to go about it. I think there are actually more active and more direct ways he can reach these people without having to make religious observance at the White House a big deal. And I think it would go a long way towards making to stressing the fact that this is a secular nation if we didn't make a big deal out of this. Is he allowed to do it? Well, it's his house. Of course he is.
I thought his house was in Mar-a-Lago and in New York.
No. Mean the Southern White House?
Yeah, or White House. It's not. Well, you know, remember George W. Bush had White House West?
Yeah.
And they had signs printed up? Eh, it's the same crap. I don't care.
I think it's a fair point. I think that the first White House Christmas wasn't even really officially observed in the big to-do way before Teddy Roosevelt in the turn of the last century.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm a little torn on this. You make a very good point. And I honestly, when I think about it, I would prefer just no religious presence.
Right.
But I don't think Trump is the person to do that.
Of course not.
Presence? But what presents or like with CE at the end or presents like gifts?
Presents like a
I want regalos.
Dead rabbit.
Presents like a dead rabbit?
On Easter, I don't know.
What kind of weird Easter gifts did you get in your family?
Apparently that's another show. I mean, I understand that this is notable because of the fact that Bannon works there. And the fact that Trump has said some pretty terrible stuff, and with you know Holocaust Remembrance Day, that went a little bit south there too. I understand why this is newsworthy. I totally get it, and it's worth reporting, and that's why I read it. But I also have this sort of adverse position on it. So that work out for you guys?
I think it's a fair point.
That is a fair point.
All right. This is Ask an Atheist, 844-SKEPTIC, 844-753-7842. I'm going to go to the break. When we come back, we're going to visit with an old friend at something that has been specifically requested.
Mm-hmm. Allegedly, soccer is a beautiful game.
It is when you know what's going on.
That's the problem. MLS is 20 years old, and people are still shocked to hear that there's an American Soccer League.
That's why you and I are talking about it. This is a discussion of American soccer for nerds and beginners. It's a good first step if a crippling soccer addiction is something that's missing from your life.
Join the club. Celebrate the 20th anniversary of MLS by actually following the season.
Hands-Free Football. New episodes every week at handsfreefootball.com. Bring it back, but it's
more than basic. 48 hours, 24 hours, 10 minutes to go.
The motorcade appears to have stopped, and yes, it appears as though the governor is getting out now. It's hard to see. My God, the rain is, it's coming down in sheets. I've never seen anything like this. There must be tens of thousands of people out here right now. The streets are shut down. Okay, it appears the governor is making his way toward the convention center. No one knows what he's going to say. The crowd is pushing forward through the storm. The Secret Service is struggling to hold them back. A wave of people are rushing toward the candidate. My God.
Zero. For your consideration, we present Convention and its subject, the nominee. ANNEX Radio.com. Now on iTunes and Stitcher.
48 hours. 24 hours. 10 minutes to go.
The motorcade appears to have stopped, and yes, it appears as though the governor is getting out now. It's hard to see. My God, the rain is, it's coming down in sheets. I've never seen anything like this. There must be tens of thousands of people out here right now. The streets are shut down. Okay, it appears the governor is making his way toward the convention center. No one knows what he's going to say. The crowd is pushing forward through the storm. The Secret Service is struggling to hold them back. A wave of people are rushing toward the candidate. My God.
Zero.
For your consideration, we present Convention and its subject, the nominee. ANNEX Radio.com. Now on iTunes and Stitcher.
Ask an Atheist may have gone on the road, but we're not making big bucks.
We still need to keep the lights on, and 95% of our costs are for airtime alone.
That's why we need your contributions.
If you've got something to advertise, consider Ask an Atheist in your ad budget.
Our listener Peggy said it best. Step up and contribute to keep secular voices on the air. For $5, you could have a latte or a moment of science.
Take on Peggy's challenge and contribute today.
For details, go to AskAnAtheist.tv or contribute directly via PayPal to PayPal@AskAnAtheist.tv.
Along the Yelm Highway lies Ramtha's house. Jay-Z Knight lives there. It's in between Lacey and the back part of Fort Lewis.
Ladies and gentlemen,
go to Yelm.
By popular demand.
Avenue until you catch the Yelm Highway. And eventually you'll see J.C. Knight's house because it's surrounded by trees. That's what the rumor has it, that J.C. Knight is Ramtha. And Ramtha wants to do the hustle. And Ramtha wants to rock. Rock and wants to do the hustle. Ramtha's rolling in my car. Hallucinations, I go real far.
This is Ask an Atheist, 844-SKEPTIC, 844-753-7842. And if you hear that music, you know what we're talking about, and you know who we're talking about it with. Welcome back to the show, Roz. How are you?
Hi! Straight out of Yelm.
Straight out of Yelm.
Except no.
Yeah, I know. I don't know. See, I usually keep the music going until this part starts, and then I...
For censorship reasons, because
yeah,
I don't think you can broadcast.
It gets really, yeah, it gets really bad right after that. But, indeed, we are here to talk in this segment about our local immigrant from another time and another place, and that's Ramtha.
I thought you were going to say me. I'm like,
no.
What are you talking
about? Yeah, no, but we're talking about it with you. You're not an immigrant. You're from here, right?
I'm an immigrant.
You're an immigrant.
I'm going to be leaving.
That's true. We'll be talking about that a bit later. But let's, is Ramtha specifically from Atlantis? I always thought he was from Atlantis, or he's just from some other, like, ultra civilization.
So he's a Lemurian warrior.
Yeah, I thought, like, the Lemurians and the Atlanteans, and I've seen this episode of Stargate before, but there was, like, a big war.
Yeah.
Yeah, as far as I can discern, Ramtha, about 35,000 years ago, led an army of 2.5 million,
yeah,
which outpaces what the estimated human population of the Earth was in the Pleistocene era.
That is a number.
That is a number, yeah.
So Ramtha, the Lemurian...
I just got that. Oh, God.
The Lemurian warrior with his 2.5 million person army...
So, like, okay, it's woo, but now it's just little lemurs. It's like an army of lemurs.
Lemurians, I guess.
Yeah, Lemurians.
Okay.
Yeah. I'm with you.
So, there was some battle between the Atlanteans and the Lemurians. I guess this is the tree-dwelling primates versus the ocean-dwelling primates, perhaps?
Right.
Ramtha got all jacked up somehow and was hurt, and then contacted Jay-Z Knight into Ramtha's future... circa 1977 by appearing to Jay-Z Knight in her kitchen.
Right.
And said, please come help me. And Ramtha didn't die, but was severely injured in this battle of the Pleistocene Ice Age, and now lives on in a woman that has a cult school that's a money-making school.
In Yelm. And she did this after talking to a psychic here in Tacoma. I'm wondering if it's the one down on Pacific.
Oh, right. So that was open from 77 until now? That's awesome.
It wouldn't surprise me. Apparently, it's been there a very
long
time.
That's longevity for a psychic. Maybe they saw into the future that their business strategy stolen.
So before we get into why we're talking about Ramtha, we should probably talk about... So we say that Jay-Z Knight is Ramtha, but apparently Jay-Z Knight is not Ramtha. Jay-Z Knight channels Ramtha, and you can tell because they sound totally different. Mm-hmm. So I've queued up a recent... I've put together a little clip of what Jay-Z Knight sounds like and what Ramtha sounds like, and here it is.
His teaching... First, if you start with the...
This is Jay-Z Knight.
In trouble. Because everybody's going to argue for their limitations. Everybody does. No, the teaching is that you're God. That's the teaching. And that from that eternal place that you've always been, that you're incarnated into this beautiful physical matter, which quantum physics and the observer could absolutely explain how you became this person. But... the personality is indigenous to the body, and it's indigenous to the neural net of the brain.
So, is everyone a mystery?
Ladies and gentlemen, give it up for Ramtha!
Woo! Because the things of true virtue we cannot find on the body as openly as we have blue eyes and dark hair and moles or birthmarks or height. True elements of character are hidden behind scheme of these adoring qualities.
I can do a better Audrey Hepburn.
So the first one with Jay-Z Knight, it sounds like your standard...
Herman Hesse quality, I think, yeah.
There is a little bit of that, isn't it? The true character. It's sort of this Audrey Hepburn meets a British Indian official...
It's transatlantic via the one person from India she might have interacted with once.
Yeah.
Maybe even Peter Sellers' impression of an Indian person.
Yeah, I was thinking Grand Moff Tarkin myself. Because Cushing was kind of not trying to be him in that moment. So.
Right. but the first Jay-Z Knight...
Star Wars kind of makes it make sense there.
Yeah,
a bit,
sure.
Just a little bit. Yeah.
About the same time.
Quick, let's pull a fictional universe out to compare Ramtha to.
Well, come on. That's pretty accurate. I think it's an apples to apples comparison.
Yeah, the other one I brought up was Winchester from MASH.
Yeah, that's true.
Well, so her new personality is not indigenous to her neural network, it might seem.
Right. And the thing is, I've never actually heard either Jay-Z Knight or Ramtha for any length of time. I just knew from hearsay by people who went to her School of Enlightenment mm-hmm. or watched that What the Bleep Do We Know movie that, you know, they sounded this specific way. And so I wanted to know for myself who sounded like what because of this news story so that I knew who was talking when I played the clip related to this story. So this was not just making fun of Jay-Z Knight and or Ramtha, even though I'm not above that.
Because it's so difficult.
Yeah, but I really needed, this was for informational purposes. So the story we're talking about is Donald Trump is now the recipient of an unsolicited support from the 35,000-year-old spirit named Ramtha, as channeled by local mystic Jay-Z Knight. While Knight has a history of donating large sums of money to Democratic candidates, a video of prophetic vision recently surfaced in which he stated that the greatest misjudgment of character came when you thought a woman should win this race. In the purported voice of Ramtha, Knight also asserted that the FBI leaked Democratic Party documents to WikiLeaks, claiming Russia had nothing to do with the breach. Of Donald Trump, she declares, "That man is trumping deceit. He doesn't smoke, he doesn't do drugs, he does business." She also prophesied that Air Force One will be escorted by two silver discs that will allegedly enable Trump to know all.
I love this. UFOs are going to enlighten our the man that is currently holding our highest office.
Now, I will take a little bit of an editorial quibble about the very end of this particular news story, because I don't know that the from the way she's talking in the clip, because I have the clip of her saying this, or actually him saying this here. I'm not going to misgender people.
You're not going to misgender a 35,000-year-old mystical warrior,
right?
The land of lemur.
Right. Well, you know, I got to be consistent. The thing is, I think it's the UFOs are going to show up, and then Trump's going to know what's what. I think what that is.
They don't actually impart the knowledge. They're just sort of a revelatory sign.
No, it's like, hey, we're UFOs. UFOs are a thing. And Trump is going to go, oh, okay.
Now I know.
Yeah, now I get it.
Okay. Yeah.
There was a running joke on the vastness of the interwebs. I saw that one of the projections was one of the things they thought would be a good thing that came out of the Trump presidency is that he could not keep the existence of aliens to himself.
That's true. If they were hiding anything, he'd probably be the guy to leak it angrily at 3 a.m.
Yeah. So Ramtha is actually on Tumblr under the handle, you know, 420 taco face, talking about
give or take a few vowels.
I did a really good job making that radio safe, by the way.
I can see your head.
I was juggling mentally. Yeah. That's what I do.
So would you like to hear the clip?
Yeah,
here
absolutely.
We go.
Because you see, they can't kill you off with disease, but they're killing you off with cures. That man is trumping deceit. He doesn't smoke, he doesn't drink, he doesn't do drugs, he does business. And the first time he looks out the window of his mighty fine used but nice jet and he sees two silver discs waving him beside of him, it's an escort, he's going to know it all. And this is a man who is not afraid. He's going to know it all.
So I'm pretty sure that's supposed to be Ramtha, and is Ramtha just deciding to sound like Trump?
It's not going to smoke, he's not going to drink, he's going to do business. It'll be the best business. It'll also be the best airplane.
Aerobics? Are we going to do aerobics to that clip?
Jazzercise.
That's what I want to do now.
Well, the weird thing about the little, you know, jazzy aerobics background music, and the thing about Trump doesn't smoke and doesn't drink, which I don't know how that's verifiable in any
Are you saying that we should just use this clip for the DARE program?
I think so, indeed. But the weird thing is that actually within Jay-Z Knight's School of Enlightenment, participants at certain retreats are actually encouraged to smoke pipe tobacco and drink wine. Mm-hmm. While listening to rock and roll music in order to achieve enlightenment, mm-hmm. which just sounds like any kind of, I don't know, party that goes on amongst adults, maybe.
I don't know about the pipes, but it I got the impression that that's...
This is Washington State. Of course there are pipes.
Well, like pre those types of pipes.
Right.
But my understanding was, I saw the video maybe once.
Yeah.
And doesn't Ramtha walk around smoking a pipe, but Jay-Z Knight doesn't?
Yeah, that's a thing.
All right.
Ah. Well, I also found in my brief amounts of research, which does include a citation needed note within Wikipedia, is that it's actually believed to be the nitric oxide in wine and tobacco smoke. Not the alcohol and not the nicotine, not the actual psychoactive agents.
Are you sure it's nitric oxide and not nitrous oxide?
It is quoted as nitric oxide.
Okay.
That helps.
Nitrous oxide's in the other room.
Oh, okay.
It's how you get so, you know, when you're on Air Force One, it's the atmosphere that's in cabin atmosphere, it's pressurization.
It's how you get the change in vowels that lets you channel Rampa, basically.
That would be like
it's also how you see the escort ships.
Right.
Yeah.
So it's kind of weird now that Rampa.
I was like, escort. Oh, right.
The silver discs, the UFOs.
Right.
But it's kind of weird that Rampa smokes and drinks in order to achieve enlightenment and help his students achieve enlightenment. Yet Rampa is also celebrating Donald Trump as someone who doesn't smoke and doesn't drink. Who through not smoking and not drinking, Trump's deceit. Oh, what a word play. Oh, Rampa, you wily wordsmith.
So now I'm starting to think, is Rampa just a construct of like the edgelord teenager that Jay-Z Knight wanted to be back in the 60s? Drinks, smokes, says stuff that is controversial. Ooh.
Yeah, looking at this list of facts that Becky put together about the Rampa School of Enlightenment at Rampa, it's looking that way. I mean, for example, Rampa predicted a Holocaust in 1985.
Edgy,
pretty edgy. Rampa thinks HIV is nature's way of getting rid of homosexuality.
No, actually, the homophobic sort of comments that come out of Rampa / Jay-Z Knight has gotten Jay-Z Knight in trouble because Jay-Z Knight has typically been a big Democratic campaign donor. And
yeah.
In the 2012 elections, that cycle, she wanted to contribute to local and national Democratic candidates. And they were like, no, please, we don't want your crazy anti-gay money.
That's an ongoing thing of who took money from Jay-Z Knight and who didn't. Among
he who smelt it, don't.
Yeah.
Yeah, kind of
among Democrats. And I'm thinking now that I'm thinking the positioning here is Jay-Z Knight clearly wants some political influence for her School of Enlightenment and apparently for Rampa. They've been doing some pretty big social plays like that What the Bleep Do We Know movie, which I refuse to see on kind of personal principle.
Yeah, I've never seen it.
Also been released as Down the Rabbit Hole.
Yeah.
So marketed under different names.
Yeah, marketed under different names, Sign of Quality. So I'm thinking, well, she's not getting any purchase by making big donations to Democrats because she says weird things and is a weird, you know, has a non-standard religious position. The Republicans might be more comfortable with that. So maybe she's switching her allegiances. Well, and I'm thinking that might be the idea behind this.
Or she's playing the field a bit.
Yeah, could be that too. Yeah.
She might be more comfortable or seek more purchase with Republicans given Rampa's statements, should I say, about Mexicans.
Right. Oh, wait, what?
Oh, yes. She said that Mexicans are a poison and they breed like rabbits. Also, in the same video clips that surfaced, said that all gay men were actually former Catholic priests. Oh, and that organic farmers all have bad hygiene. I mean, she's just like an equal opportunity disser.
So to go into a little local humor, J.C. Knight lives in Yelm. The Olympia Food Co-op is just a couple miles down the street. I could see her getting kind of judgy walking around the farmer's market.
Yeah, I could see that.
Farmers.
Yeah.
So I do like this equal opportunity insulter.
We're really building the edgelord case here, I think.
There
yeah.
we go.
I think there's something to it.
Does she say anything about GMOs?
I didn't come across any of that. She does say something about, God's chosen people.
Uh-oh.
Would be a reference to Jewish folks. Let me see if I can find it. I think, oh my goodness. I'm looking. I mean, she did think that another Holocaust was going to happen, but I don't know whether...
So did she mean specifically a Holocaust of Jews or just like a whole bunch of people are going to die in 1985? Some people use the word that way.
I don't know. I'm not sure at this point.
Because I remember only one type in 1985, you know, which is why I'm dead.
Whoa.
Yeah.
So
I got dark.
So speaking of dark, channeling Rampa in 2011, there were these videos that surfaced where... Now, you didn't get this clip specifically because it would have to have a lot of bleeps included in it.
That happens.
But it was roughly, F God's chosen people. I think they have earned enough cash to have paid their way out of the dog-damned gas chambers by now.
Whoa. Dog?
Well, that was my FCC legal attack.
Oh, okay. Sorry.
Yeah.
I thought that was an actual Ramtha thing, and I'm like, Ramtha, come on.
I did call Ramtha a wily wordsmith, but that was my own wordsmithing there.
Okay, well done.
the things about Ramtha and where Jay-Z Knight is sort of channeling Ramtha and then recusing herself of any kind of responsibility for the things that she says or the things that go on under her School of Enlightenment are really suspect and have come under a lot of criticism from her multiple ex-spouses, from people that have been students of the School of Enlightenment, and from local law enforcement. There was actually an late 90s case. Now, you were probably a high school student at the time, but there was, I don't know if you're aware of any of this at this time
Are you asking me if, like, as
were
a teenager...
Were you a student at the School of Enlightenment, Roslyn?
I shoveled out the stables with the chandeliers inside.
She's not kidding. There are these weird, like, stables and farms and fields that are at the School of Enlightenment. But there was, at one of Ramtha's retreats, there was a 15-year-old girl that was allegedly raped by the acting teachers that were at this. And the issue was brought up, and Jay-Z Knight, channeling Ramtha, allegedly did a huge inquisition, questioning the girl and the two rapists. And it was in front of a bunch of people on a stage in front of 800 people. And then when the authorities got involved, because the school actually reported the incident, and the authorities got involved, and they, one, didn't want to put her on the stand because she wouldn't be a credible witness, and two, Ramtha, or Jay-Z Knight, conveniently forgot everything that had been said while she was in a Ramtha trance.
Wow.
So these are the kinds of things that are happening underneath your watch, and yet you are claiming, you know, the path to enlightenment.
That's, and like, to be fair, I have kind of ignorance of the law around that area, but I know that Yelm has its own police department, and then if you have the School of Enlightenment, you said was in front of 800 people that happened?
Yeah, apparently at this big retreat.
So, like, Yelm isn't a big town. Like,
no,
that
no.
That's a sizable part of your community that's involved in this.
Well, I don't know if this is Yelmites that are...
Well, no, not like locals, but they're obviously people under the jurisdiction of the Yelm Police Department, I would assume.
Yeah, certainly. So... Yeah, but I mean, it's getting together and having an incredibly questionable conversation about a crime is creepy, but not itself a crime.
No,
unfortunately,
definitely not. It's just odd that there's such a swath of the population that's involved.
Well, I you know, with a lot of these, I don't know specifically about Ramtha, but I know that. Like with Scientology and Eck and other places, other religious groups that I've had to deal with, the locations they meet at, the people who go there don't necessarily live there.
Mm-hmm.
Like, there's probably a lot of people who live, they either live on site or they live in like Seattle and make money and then bring it to Ramtha and spend it there and then go back to Seattle.
Yeah. Sure. Every time Ramtha holds a retreat, it increases the Yelm's population fourfold or something like that.
Oh,
okay.
It's a bit like the Gathering of the Juggalos in that respect.
I wasn't aware that it was the kind of thing where people, I mean, I knew they had limited courses, but I thought there was also a big contingent of people that lived on site because the compound is just so huge.
It wouldn't surprise me if they did. That's fairly common, but in order for Ramtha to acquire all of this material wealth for whatever reason, somebody has to be making that money.
Speaking of the vastness of the compound, this is one of my favorite things because I actually do a lot of teen leadership and personal character building kind of exercises, and there was one that went completely awry in the early 90s. There was an exercise on the compound that they took 1,000 followers at one of the courses and brought them out to a field and then blindfolded all of them, and then they were directed to all split up and run across the field with their hands in this like outstretched position that was deemed to be the consciousness and energy position.
Oh boy.
And it was supposed to be an exercise in overcoming your fears and harnessing your own natural consciousness and energy to avoid obstacles. And predictably, Well, a lot of people ended up crashing into each other and getting injured.
Yeah.
Because when you put a bunch of 1,000 blindfolded people on a field.
Broken ankles and bruised fingers and
concussions.
Didn't I see a Spanish language movie about that where people were, they were like, luck was some sort of physical power you could take through from each other, and they ran through a forest and see who was more lucky?
I am unaware of this, but fascinated by this.
Apparently, I just hallucinated it. Never mind.
Well, you got to hurry up and copyright it. Make sure that it doesn't get stolen like Ramtha's stuff.
Yeah, otherwise I would. Otherwise I would have copyrighted that that episode of Buck Rogers with Bull and the guy from Law and Order.
I have no idea what's going on anymore.
This is a callback to one of Sam's fondly recalled hallucinations that turns out was actually not a hallucination.
A real TV show, a real episode. It was
just that sentence is making me disassociate.
Like, yep.
All right.
Yeah,
welcome to the Studio of Enlightenment.
Yeah, it feels so great to be back.
I'm already feeling that I have transcended my physical form into my light body.
Quick, let's run around in a field blindfolded.
Let's talk about neural stuff. Indigenous neural quantums. Yeah, indigenous neural quantums.
That's
indeed
a breakfast cereal.
Yes. Yes. Oh my God, we're doing this. Yes. That's amazing. All right, well, I think we've...
have we exhausted the
covered
wealth of ridiculosity that is Ramtha's School of Enlightenment?
Well, it's like we've never really gotten into what Ramtha actually is. And, well, this one, I really think they're just looking for political influence any way they can get it. And since they weren't getting it with local Democrats... They're trying the Trump train. And I think... I may be playing the field, but I don't really think it's playing the field because once
playing the field blindfolded, you might say.
Right, because once you say, oh yeah, you know, I'm done with Democrats, I'm going to give Trump a bunch of money, you're burning a couple bridges by doing that, I think. So maybe...
Does she have that amount of foresight, I guess, is the question.
No, Ramtha's 35,000 years old. You think maybe, you know...
With that Lemurian war and everything, I'm sure he's got his stuff figured out by now.
Yeah, I can't wait for the Ken Burns documentary on that one.
So we did say what Ramtha stands for and things like that. Ram is apparently the word for God in Ramtha's own language, but we haven't even gotten into what Jay-Z Knight stands for.
Okay, I'm
because Jay-Z Knight wasn't actually born Jay-Z Knight.
Oh, I thought it was gonna be like Jacqueline Zenobia or something like that.
Okay, so we've got Jacqueline Zenobia. What's Becky? Do you have a prediction for us, or you know the answer? So
I do.
Cheating, but, spoilers.
But I always assume that anyone with a middle initial of Z is always Zaphod.
Oh, I like that one.
Yeah, it's
see
good.
That would have been refreshing. Okay, you ready?
Yeah, no, but yes.
Judy Zebra.
Judy Zebra.
Judy Zebra Knight.
That's a great, it's Judy Zebra Night at the local club. Yeah.
That's how you could do that to the Howdy Doody song. It's Judy Zebra Night. Da, 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 da.
I love it. I actually like that. That's great.
Well, I mean, it was something like Judith Doreen something.
Darlene Doreen, yeah, something that makes you think of a woman in the mid-70s standing in a kitchen.
Yeah, receiving the message of the Lemurian warrior.
Darlene.
I like that. Judy Zebra. That's not bad.
Judy Zebra.
Okay.
All right.
Apparently, we have a platform on which to communicate now. Maybe I'll be channeling my own Lemurian.
Is it going to be like code?
Yeah.
Judy Zebra, 10-4, over.
The cat what sours the basil. One of your lines I love.
I just think we need to credit.
That's from a cartoon, actually.
Is it?
Oh, yeah, okay. Ed, and Eddie.
Oh.
We need to credit today's episode as starring Ask an Atheist with Sam Ibex, Rosalind Elephant, and Rebecca Giraffe.
All right, well, we're going to wrap this up, but so this was by popular demand. We got a bunch of requests to have you on for this.
Thank you all, negative one of you.
Someone heard something was happening with Ramtha, and they're like, we need Rosalind.
But we're not going to be hearing from you for a bit, because you're off to educate yourself, are you not?
Yeah, graduate school, in places that are not here.
In places that are pretty far from here. So congratulations on getting into grad school, and good luck.
Mm-hmm.
This is Ask an Atheist at 844-SKEPTIC, 844-753-7842. We'll be back in a bit.
Jay-Z Knight lives there. It's in between Lacey and the back part of Fort Lewis. If you want to go to Yelm,
go down Cleveland Avenue until you catch the Elm Highway, and eventually you'll see J.C. Knight's house because it's surrounded by trees. That's what the rumor has it, that J.C. Knight is Rantha, and Rantha wants to do the hustle, and Rantha wants to rock, rock and roll, do the hustle. Rantha's rolling in my car, hallucinations, I go real far, I don't care, because I like Rantha, he connects with me, because we're spiritually the same person, like Jesus Christ to a Christian, me and Rantha.
I'm Mike Gillis.
And I'm Casey Doran, and we want to ask you an important question.
Are you sick and tired of other panel discussion shows wasting your time droning on and on about foreign policy, economics, and human rights?
Or do you want to hear conversations about things that actually matter?
We host a podcast called Radio Versus the Martians. Every month we gather a panel of our nation's finest minds and plunge a rusty prison shank into the heart of tough questions that have an impact on the lives of real people like you.
Like, are drivers required to pull over for the Ghostbusters?
Is the United Federation of Planets actually an oppressive dictatorship run by guidance counselors?
Is Arnold Schwarzenegger secretly a genius?
And are we being mean when we laugh at movies that are so bad they're good?
So write your congressman and let them know that Radio Versus the Martians is available on iTunes, Stitcher, and on RadioVersusTheMartians.com.
Need a break from the theistic world?
Live in the Seattle area?
Like the Flying Spaghetti Monster?
Whether you're an ardent non-believer, steadfast agnostic, or marauding Pastafarian, check out the award-winning nonprofit organization Seattle Atheists.
Socialize at the Third Thursday Meetup, attend lectures, come camping, donate blood.
Connect at SeattleAtheists.org.
Seattle Atheists, we believe in you.
You can advertise on Ask an Atheist on the radio, on our website, and in our podcast. People just like you who have the same interests are listening right now, just like you are, and thousands will download this podcast and listen to it later. If you have a product, service, or idea to sell, people here in the Pacific Northwest and people around the world, thousands will hear your message. Let us help you sell your product, service, or idea. Contact us at advertising@askanatheist.tv. That's advertising@askanatheist.tv.
My name is Jonathan Ariola of TDTF Pod. The more voices you hear, the more we observe and feel, the more we learn about the other facets of this complex and wondrous beast that is humanism and free thought. Join me on the science-loving journey through topics like justice, murder, family, diligence, taste, history, society, race, boob jobs, law, addiction, video games, fear, sacrifice, children. Wait, not sacrificing children. That's not what I meant. Bring the popcorn and watch me break down the issues too deep, too fast. Join me at TDTF Pod. I'm Jonathan Ariola. Talk to you soon.
So you're on your Monday morning drive, and someone on Ask an Atheist says something that really, really gets your goat. You want to talk, you want to yell, you want to scream, and clicking the shiny red candy-like button just isn't good enough. Good! Call us! Leave us a message! Call Ask an Atheist at 206-420-0997 and vent your spleen now and for the future! That's 206-420-0997 and wait for the tone.
Welcome back. This is Ask an Atheist, 844-SKEPTIC, 844-753-7842. That's our actual voicemail number, not the old one that I use in that commercial. I just keep playing it because it's fun. I don't really have any other reason to play it. And I think you sound good in it, Becky.
Oh, thanks.
Yeah. What, nothing?
Sometimes that old phone number really, really gets my goat.
I would like to thank Alex, Jesse, Nick, and Movie Man, all from the internet, for meeting Peggy's challenge. Peggy's challenge is the listener is to you, the listeners of Ask an Atheist, by Peggy from Kent here in Washington, to help us keep the lights on. Every dollar you give to us goes directly towards show production. You can go to askanatheist.tv, click on the yellow button on the right-hand side, take you directly to our PayPal page. Every dollar you give us goes directly towards show production. There's also a Patreon that we've got. I still really haven't cooked up a shtick for that yet. And the fact that I haven't really is kind of becoming the thing. If you listen the last couple of weeks, you'll see there was an episode, a Patreon short that we did that was some extra material that we couldn't use in the episode that I released with my awesome number station intro, which I'm really proud of. I might actually have to do an episode of how I did that because
it's glorious.
That took some doing, yeah. Making Becky record things without knowing what she's recording.
Ooh.
And
I've had that happen to me before too.
All sorts of weird gear. I just had her read numbers and she's like, why are you having me read these numbers? No reason. You'll see.
Just because.
Yeah. Happy Unicorn Day.
It is National Unicorn Day.
So is it National Unicorn Day here in the United States?
I think it was made up on Twitter.
Okay, that's fine.
Possibly.
Yeah, I'm okay with that.
In our trolling around, I mean, what's the difference between that? We couldn't figure out the origin of Unicorn Day.
The closest I got was some Google Analytics about trending topics on Twitter.
I mean, what's the essential difference between Twitter making up a holiday and Congress making up a holiday? I mean, what's really the difference between the two things?
Well, I don't know, because there's like different nations that celebrate National Unicorn Day. So I don't know why it's not called International Unicorn Day.
Exactly. I'd imagine like Scotland might celebrate Unicorn Day.
Wouldn't it be the International Day of the Unicorn at that point?
I would imagine that it might be.
Well, yeah, we're talking about Scotland in this case. Scotland's tourism department is urging people to celebrate National Unicorn Day by commissioning artists to make large sculptures of the mythical animal. Unicorns feature prominently in Scottish lore and appear on the official Scottish coat of arms. Scholars theorize that Scots adopted an affinity for the creature when a narwhal strayed from their Arctic territory into the waters of the British Isles. When narwhals, wouldn't it be narwhals, or is narwhal the plural of narwhals?
I'm generally your linguistic correspondent, but in this case, I know not.
844-753-7842. Tell us what the plural of narwhal is. I'd like to know. National Unicorn Day exploded on Twitter in 2015, and on April 1st of this year, the National Zoo edited a webpage purportedly featuring unicorn facts and nature photos of Equus unicorni to indicate that the article was intended as an April Fool's joke and was not based on fact.
Because it could be. Unicorns were real, right? Right.
I love you. Well, you know, speaking of really gets your goat, we did find out that unicorns actually were mentioned in
the Bible.
In the Bible.
Nine times.
Is somewhat mistranslated from some kind of like single horned ibex
like,
type
wild
creature.
Ox.
Yeah.
There are people who make unicorns with goats by moving their horn bugs around, and that's really kind of gross.
So it's basically the foot binding of goats?
Yeah.
Back, I think, in the early 19th century, there was a unicorn, which was a goat with that had its one horn moved to the middle of its head, and that was.
They kind of like
unicorn,
like wrap their two horns together to make this.
Yeah, and apparently
swirly proboscis.
Apparently, it's actually a little painful.
I can imagine.
Yeah.
Oh.
Now this is where my skepticism, unicorns don't exist, sort of directly collides with my science fiction futurism kind of thinking that says unicorns will exist. Because somebody, one of these days, they're going to buy and assemble an animal kit from KB2000 or whatever.
Oh, we're talking about like the distant future.
Yeah, like 2 or 3 years from now.
Okay, all right.
Yeah, and they're gonna genetically engineer a unicorn. And then there will be unicorns. I think
as long as I can time travel into the future to meet said unicorns, I'd be fine with this. This is a reality that I can get on board with.
Now, Meredith, you're kind of known within this little area for having awesomely colored hair. You've done this beautiful mermaid teal. Currently, you're sporting this like vibrant purple and pink. Did you see the trending hair creation of unicorn hair?
Yes, I have seen the unicorn hair. I have not personally tried it yet because that looks really hard and I am not that talented.
Would you sport unicorn hair?
I've actually been toying around with that idea for Halloween. I'm very obsessed with unicorns. I'm not on the show much. I don't think you all know, but unicorns are my favorite mythical creature.
I knew that unicorns often came up in conversation when you were around. I didn't realize that meant something.
That is one of the things I enjoy. I collect the little figurines and stuffed animals. Yeah, that's my weird person thing is unicorns.
I think you have some unicorn leggings, do you not?
I do. They are skeleton unicorns. So they got that kind of gothy vibe going on too.
skeletal unicorns?
Yeah, they're skeletal unicorns.
Not like a Dia de los Muertos unicorn? Or no.
Just unicorn skeletons. They have cute little bows on the horns too.
That's pretty metal, I'd say. Yeah, pretty metal.
Yeah, I walk a fine line between metal and adorable.
It's true.
I would sport the unicorn hair, though. If I could figure out how to do it.
What is unicorn hair?
You tease up the back of it. You have a series of different colors, and then you have a what is it? It's like one of those styrofoam blocks that you stick plantings into.
Yeah.
But you put it, and then you wrap the swirly style, all of the fascinating colors of your hair around the horn, and
then you have a mane in the back. Yeah.
Yeah, it's a teased up mane, and it actually very much is kind of this cross between metal and adorable. Also.
Yeah, it is because. The
is
the whole
this what we're talking
thing.
About?
No, that's just rainbow things going on. I think we'll have to link to it in the show notes. And
yes.
Then you too can be
this?
A mythical creature.
Something like, there's
similar.
A better one. Hold on. I have had it posted on my page numerous times because everyone knows I love unicorns.
So I like that Twitter kind of made National Unicorn Day without regards to what nation it is.
Oh, okay.
Oh, you're seeing it now.
Yeah.
And at the same time that it's being celebrated and marketed in the U.S., you have Scotland that is actually really known for treasuring its unicorns.
Yes.
I'm not sure how much I believe the narwhal theory. I think that, you know, since Wales had its dragon and you have the Britain that has its lion, it's like we need an animal that is fuzzy and adorable, but, you know, like
kind of
metal and adorable.
Yeah, metal.
And, you know, it's not quite the scariness of the dragon because they already have that animal. You need something that is both very powerful and from this, you know, mythic heraldry, but also majestic and strong and not scary like a dragon.
Yeah.
I think I need to move to Scotland, you guys.
I think so.
You make it kind of hard to do the show from Scotland.
Hey,
well,
Scottish
I mean, it's
listeners,
not possible.
Send Ask an Atheist some unicorn stuff, and then we'll gift it on to Meredith.
Hey, you know what? A unicorn segment on the show wouldn't bother me too much.
Unicorn sightings. Sort of like Bigfoot, you know?
Yeah.
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 Or maybe the trolls and the wee people,
you know,
in Iceland. Or...
It's been a long time since we've done a cryptozoology episode. It might be time.
There's nothing cryptic about the unicorns. They exist. They're scattered all over Scotland.
They're very real. I call
no,
them when I need help.
That's not true. This is Ask an Atheist. 844 Skeptic. 844
Skeptic?
Have you figured this out yet?
Skeptic.
Do you know where you are?
I think
are?
I'm on the wrong show.
I think you might be.
I think all that Seder really did me in.
Got you believing in unicorns.
I mean, if you can have the Nile turn to blood and you can have a plague of locusts and frogs, why not a unicorn? Oh, a plague of unicorns. Oh, my goodness. We're going to have,
really
we're gonna have a cryptozoology. Oh, he totally did. Oh, my goodness. We should have a
that
cryptozoology.
That is the worst pun.
Thank you.
Wow. Anyway.
Moving on?
No, this is fun. Yeah, I don't know. This is pretty good.
I think Ezekiel has some really weird sort of like prophetic visions about these winged creatures that have like four faces. And there's got to be a unicorn thrown in somewhere in that kind of vision.
Probably, yeah.
Yeah.
Unicorns are biblical, i.e. they must exist.
I didn't really know that they were biblical.
Well,
and I even read the darn thing.
It's kind of a mistranslation. It's,
oh,
it's
okay.
Really bad. It's in
right.
something
the
in
translation
like,
I read. They might.
It's like
it.
From yeah. Hebrew to Aramaic to the Greek Septuagint to
yeah.
Back through Google Translate 18 times comes up with unicorn.
Oh, well, to something you talk about to something I talk about. Australian bars and thousands of individuals are boycotting the beer maker Cooper's Brewery after they saw the brand prominently featured in an online ad for the Bible Society. Cooper's has stated that it did not give permission to be included in the video, Keeping It Light, in which two Australian MPs debate marriage equality while sipping beers. Cooper's had recently released a beer can line commemorating the 200th anniversary of the Bible Society, a nonprofit focused on Bible distribution and literacy through Bible study. So, context this for me.
So the Bible Society is part of the International Bible Societies, I think it is. But the Bible Society in Australia, when they say that they're interested in promoting literacy and building literacy capacity through Bible study, it's like, hey, we want to teach you to read in English, you heathen peoples of the Aboriginal tribes. We're going to do that by giving you a Bible. Look, isn't it wonderful that you can read and also find Jesus? So there's a lot of tension in Australia with with these kinds of, you know, things, considering their history of wiping out their Aboriginal peoples, much like in the Americas as well. But the Bible Society, it's sort of like, you know, a treasured tradition of the bell ringer Santas here with the Salvation Army. When you really look into it, Salvation Army is pretty rotten in terms of their policies and their ideologies. And so it would be as if a beer company here in the States was like, hey, we're gonna market our holiday line of beer with little bell ringer things going.
So you've got Australian MPs, actors in a commercial.
No, it's the actual MPs. It's
okay,
the actual
and they're drinking beer and they're saying horrible things about marriage equality.
Well, not both of them.
Okay, but one of them.
So they had two of the MPs, and one of them is pro marriage equality, and one was against, and they were supposed to be having like a debate.
Yeah.
While keeping it light, because this is obviously a very light topic, marriage equality.
Oh yeah, yeah. There's no social stigma attached to this whatsoever.
But it wasn't really a debate so much as one person saying equality is important, and the other one's like, nah.
Yeah, marriage between man and a woman. Yeah.
And this is, you know, when Shelley was on, she talked about how, you know, marriages in Australia, you have to say that during the ceremony.
During the ceremony, you have to declare, and it was introduced, that declaration that marriage is between one man and one woman was only introduced when other Commonwealth nations and the U.S. in different states and on different areas around the world started actually legalizing marriage equality and recognizing that two gay folks that want to be married doesn't really undermine your country or economy or safety in any way whatsoever. And in fact, it kind of raises the floor for a lot of social ills.
Right.
So,
and interestingly enough, there's a local connection to this in that Cooper's Beer Company or Cooper's Brewery. I looked it up and it is the same company. They sell in the United States beer kits where malt and hop and
homebrew.
Yeah. Homebrewing beer kits where it's basically homebrew in a can.
Yeah.
And if you want to try homebrewing and you don't have a lot of the gear, but you want to give it a shot, you buy this $20 can and it makes you 5 gallons.
It looks like a little tiny keg, right?
Yeah.
Those things.
Yeah. But it's really just like a big can of tomatoes. It's the same thing. And you don't need, you know, you don't need to dry hop, you know, you don't need to hop, you don't need to, it's all done and then malt it and then turn into this paste that you just put in water, and then it comes with a little packet of yeast, which I never use. And so when I need, like, when I'm making a beer, and then, like, for example, one of the Ask an Atheist events that we did, I provided all of the beer for the green room as sort of a thanks to the performers. And so I made a couple things that I like, but not everybody likes, you know, opaque beer that requires a chisel to get out of the keg. So I went and grabbed a can of Cooper's. Added some extra stuff to it to give it a little bit more of a body, and then brewed that up, and it was nice. I use their stuff all the, you know, when I need a style of beer that I don't really care to make, but people want in the want in the keg. That they're kind of the company I've been using because they're available over at the brew shop.
So the question about this really is this boycott called for? Is it necessary? Is it justified? And Meredith, this morning, you actually found a little bit of an update on this, that Cooper's wasn't really involved in promoting this particular commercial.
Not
it was the Bible
all.
Society itself mm-hmm. that said, hey, we should have a discussion of, you know, two MPs over a set of beers to say, ha, 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 isn't this a light topic that we can all discuss respectfully? But there's even a follow-up from Cooper's after getting all of this flack.
Yeah, so I suppose the president of Cooper's, I can pull this up real quick, has now come out and said that, of course, they weren't involved in the making of the video. They didn't want to be involved. They didn't get their consent. But went a step further to say that they're pulling the beer can line that they did for the Bible Society.
Okay.
So the beer can line that they did all had like Bible verses on them or something.
Sure.
Well, but
I'd like a can of that for my propaganda collection, actually.
Well, it might be hard to get your hands on it
because they're not making it.
I thought they already released them. No, okay.
No, they pulled them.
Okay.
And they've also come out to say that they have joined the, what is it?
It's like the marriage equality sort of campaign.
Yeah. The Australian Marriage Equality Coalition. So they actually came out with a nice statement and was like, we didn't mean for this to blow up. We weren't involved in that. We support marriage equality. We've listened to our community. You told us you didn't want this. We're pulling everything, and we're going to go further to try and write this.
So, and this is where I was going to loop the personal interest back into it, is do I stop using Cooper's beer mix?
Good news, no!
I don't have to.
No.
Okay.
Unless you're safe.
Unless I get more information. Because, I mean, there's a few mixes that are made in the United States, but they're actually, they have less character than the Cooper stuff. I mean, so I went to it. Although honestly, I'm not doing that much brewing these days. I'm doing more studio building. But that's good to know. Yeah.
So keeping it light, I can't help but relate it just a teeny bit to the Pepsi debacle that's going on in the United States with the the conversation. But this one was actually put on by Pepsi itself. Just as the Bible Society said, ho, 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 we can discuss tense issues fraught with social tension and affecting people in serious ways over beers. Ho, 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 ho. Pepsi decided that the entirety of Black Lives Matter can just be solved by giving a Pepsi. It's okay. Chill out, man. Here, have a Pepsi.
Here,
you'll feel better.
Have a Pepsi, Mr. Officer.
No.
Boycotting conversation.
I'm boycotting. Yeah, I saw this and I saw what this was turning into, and it's like there is literally no way I can bring light to this conversation. There is no way I can advance it. There is no way I can make it better. I am not saying the people who are saying this commercial sucks are wrong. I think if you know my politics, you know where I'm going to fall down on that, but not getting into that mess. Staying out for my own sanity.
It's a wise decision.
Yeah.
Should we suffice it all to say that Ask an Atheist does indeed believe that Black Lives Matter and does indeed believe that marriage equality is a thing that should happen?
That's what I'm saying. It's at this point, I think it's fair to say that I've said a lot of things in support of Black Lives Matter. We've had people on to talk about it. I think our marriage equality fight here in Washington State is fairly well documented.
Yes.
I think we all know where we stand on this one. And
high fives all around.
And I don't know about that, but complexity of the issue is we've discussed it. We've been there. But to get in on the anger train, I think it's being well handled. So I'm just going to stay out.
So we'll just crack open a carbonated drink and enjoy
my really terrible Mountain Dew thing, which I did drink because it has caffeine in it. Anyway, I think that's all the time we've got for today.
All right.
This is Ask an Atheist. Our phone number is 844-753-7842. You can email us at questions@askanatheist.tv. You can Twitter us at AskAnAtheistWA. Yes, we do pay attention to it. We'll be talking about it more. Thank you, Becky.
Thank you, Sam Ibex Mulvey. And Meredith Unicorn Taylor.
Oh, wow.
Officially changing my middle name.
Nice loop there. Yeah, and thank you, Meredith.
Thank you, Sam.
See you guys next week. Do you think I'm going to get in trouble for staying out of the Pepsi debate?
I don't think so, no.
Okay, good.